This is Tom Tropridge, KSFR News, with the KSFR NMBA Radio Awards 2018 entry on continuing coverage, the state legislature that was my beat. And after a series of previews on the key issues before the legislature that aired on KSFR before the 2018 legislative session began January 16th, I formally launched KSFR's coverage of the 30-day session with the following report on Governor Susana Martinez's State of the State address, along with a response from the minority party's leadership. In reflective mode, New Mexico Governor Susana Martinez called it the honor of a lifetime to serve as governor and to, quote, have been elected twice by the hardworking, generous, and resilient people of our state. And Martinez began her final State of the State address to lawmakers with a humorous jab.
I was actually going to forego this speech this year and let you guys get right to work. But since you all sued me and demanded that I explain myself more, sit back and relax, because I got things to say.
Martinez's address focused on New Mexico's emerging economy and its strengths, but she also pointed to the need to address the state's high crime rate and boosting its poorly rated quality of education.
This session, we must work together to keep our economy moving, pass a responsible budget, make New Mexico a safe place for families and the worst place in America to be a criminal, and finally adopt the reforms necessary to ensure every child receives the quality education that they deserve.
In Senate Democrats' response, Senator Howie Morales acknowledged the state's increased surplus revenues, adjusted higher to $330 million. He suggested targeting some of the extra revenue to, quote, begin the process of rebuilding critical areas that have all too often been accustomed to cuts.
We are in a position to make smart moves that will help us get back, ready to rebuild, and ready for the future. And this recommendation from LFC already has strong bipartisan support. And to be honest with you, it's not even wildly different than what the governor has proposed. And I'm confident that together, we can work on passing a budget that accurately addresses the needs of the state and recognizes the great value we have for the people who do the work across our state.
On crime, Governor Martinez condemned a revolving door, a criminal justice system that has led to police officers arresting the same people over and over for serious crimes. She blamed the judges and called for a repeal of the constitutional amendment on bail reform enacted just last year.
The judiciary has actually used the constitutional amendment that voters passed to require the release of those defendants back into our communities prior to trial.
To that, Santa Fe Senator Democrat Peter Wirth countered.
We can't forget this constitutional amendment was designed to keep those dangerous defenders off the street in this pre-trial situation. And so clearly there's some tweaks that are needed. I think the Supreme Court took a big step forward. What's on us is to fund the system.
Lawmakers and the governor are now on the clock, and 30 days at the roundhouse go by swiftly. Tom Tropridge, KSFR News. Throughout the 2018 session, I, on behalf of KSFR News and the NMBA's New Mexico News Network, was at the Capitol, monitoring the legislative process through committee meeting coverage, floor debate, session news conference coverage, and interviews with individual legislators. The following is an example. It was about a bill that related to a federal matter, but one that would have impacts on New Mexico citizens. It concerns the concept of net neutrality. With the Federal Communications Commission's decision last month to repeal Obama-era net neutrality rules, the FCC allowed Internet service providers freedoms they lacked before. But two New Mexico state lawmakers say those freedoms aren't necessarily consumer-friendly. State Senator Howie Morales of Silver City and State Representative Bill McCamley from Mesilla Park, both Democrats, have introduced identical bills in their respective chambers that would prohibit paid prioritization of Internet traffic as an unfair and deceptive trade practice under New Mexico's Unfair Practices Act and provide funding to state prosecutors for enforcement. McKemley says net neutrality provides basic protections for everyone to access the Internet. He gave three examples at a recent news conference.
The first is throttling. A company previous to Donald Trump's people's ruling under Obama was not allowed to change the speed of access people have to the Internet. And what Trump's ruling meant is that companies can now create what we call fast lanes and slow lanes. People that can just afford to barely get on the Internet would then be in the slow lane. But if you have a lot of money, you can access the Internet on a much faster level, and that would be called the fast lane and the slow lane. What protections for net neutrality do stop that process. Secondly, it stops blocking websites arbitrarily. And so right now, because of Donald Trump and the FCC's ruling, the companies are allowed to, if they want to, just block your access to certain websites for whatever reason they want. Thirdly, there is a separation of sites and apps. So right now, if you go online and you bring up your Google or your Firefox or your whatever, you can go to Twitter, you can go to Facebook, you can go to FaceTime, or wherever you want. And what the protections say is you have access to all of those equally. What other countries allow is for companies to charge you separate pricing for different websites. And so what we're trying to do is restore all of those protections that the Obama-era rules put in place in the State Unfair Practices Act.
McKemley cited a recent public opinion poll done by the University of Maryland showing more than 80% of Americans favoring net neutrality regulations, including 75% of Republicans.
So an overwhelming amount of the public wants to keep access because they understand it's good for education. If I'm a poorer school and I can't get the same YouTube access as a wealthier school, my kids aren't going to get the same type of educational opportunities as someone else. Furthermore, this is also about small businesses. So I spent 3 years working with three other guys in a garage, literally, in a company called Roho Inc. We sold custom shirts, hats, bags, that sort of thing. And we fed hungry kids in Africa and Haiti. But our business relied on web access. People would go design their shirts online. And if we didn't have the capacity to get into one of these fast lane businesses, the huge corporations that work nationally would have a much more easier access to clientele, and we would be unfairly discriminated against. So people understand that this is good for kids. They understand that this is good for small businesses, and they want to make this work.
Senator Morales says net neutrality is likely an issue that many people won't fully appreciate until the current regulations are gone and everyone's affected.
I can tell you, in traveling all around the state of New Mexico, that people are in tune to this, but we want to make sure there's greater awareness of the impacts that will take place and the digital divide that will happen even more so in our rural communities.
But there's a major hang-up with McKemley and Morales' efforts to keep net neutrality the law in New Mexico. Their identical House and Senate measures need the approval of Governor Susana Martinez to be considered during the short legislative session. Senator Morales.
We also want to make sure that we can recognize and ask the governor, first of all, to give us a message, to have the opportunity for the New Mexico legislature to work on this, to have the ability to bring out all the issues and the impacts that could take place with net neutrality basically being eliminated through the FCC. The piece of legislation that we have in front of you at this point, we have not received a message, it has not been real germane, but we're hopeful that the governor will work together with us to make this a reality.
However, Morales adds there's a plan in case Governor Martinez doesn't provide that needed message. Both he and McKemley are sponsors of Senate Joint Memorial 17.
Now, this Senate Joint Memorial, it's an important aspect of it because we know the process that the FCC went through in determining what they were going to do upon their vote was a fraudulent one. We know that there was issues that have taken place with the comments, the public comments that were given to them. We know that New Mexicans were listed as making comments when, in fact, they never made any of these comments. It is because of that we're asking our congressional delegation to have a Congressional Review Act opportunity to look and see on the process that the FCC undertook and to make sure that we can recognize that their process had many gaps with that. And I believe that the outcome that they ultimately came to was one based on a process that just wasn't accurate. We want the congressional delegation to take a look at this, encourage their members within their legislative body to do so as well, because we have to have every angle of this to be looked at from an aspect of fairness, the aspect of ensuring that we're not going to be dividing according to economics. And we want to make sure that we make this an educational opportunity for our students, our seniors, our consumers to utilize under net neutrality protections
throughout the state of New Mexico.
Additionally, Representative McCamley's hoping Governor Martinez will look at what some other states are doing in protest of the net neutrality reversal by the FCC.
On January 22nd, Governor Steve Bullock of Montana made a proclamation where he said, if companies do not abide by the regulations allowing everyone equal access to the internet, they will not be allowed to apply for state business. And so there's a lot of ways the states can push back against this very unfair decision that the FCC pointed out. And we all understand here in New Mexico that the internet is the 21st century. And if people aren't given equal access to internet capabilities, you're not going to have an even playing field for kids, for businesses, for people that want to shop online. And this is absolutely vital to the future of all the citizens here in New Mexico.
Meantime, attorneys general from 21 states, including New Mexico, have sued to block the federal changes to the net neutrality rules that barred companies such as AT&T, Comcast, and Verizon with interfering with internet traffic and favoring their own sites and apps. Often, KSFR's legislative coverage featured one-on-one interviews with lawmakers proposing provocative bills. Here's an example. New Mexico State Senator William Scherer has been advocating a flat tax approach to tax reform for about 5 years, and now the Farmington Republican has developed a set of props to make his case. Scherer explained to me his approach using two stools representing New Mexico's sources of income.
The gross receipts tax of this leg is considerably longer than any other leg. Personal income tax is also too short to use, and the corporate income tax is almost immeasurable in this thing. But because we do have these other two, the investments and energy tax, investment comes from the land grant permanent fund, and energy comes really from the state land office and what they have.
The separate taxes from oil and gas.
Right. So that is obviously an unusable stool. And it's unusable because there are at least 356 exemptions, credits, and deductions, which make this tax complicated, to say the least. So with this stool, if you were to take each leg and just try to find out the volume of the leg, so pi r squared times the height, you can get the volume of the leg, at least the gross receipts tax, personal income tax, and corporate income tax legs.
This is made to scale?
This is made to scale, yes. This is exactly
so we're
according
looking
to this
at,
chart.
We're looking at the gross receipts tax at about three times or
44%.
44, okay, there we go.
And the personal income tax is at 24%. And the corporate income tax is a bit of a misnomer because that's 4%, but that is corporate income tax and all of the other itty-bitty taxes. So that's 4% of it. And then each of the other two legs, investment and energy, are 14%. So that equals 100% of our income here for the revenue for the state.
Scherer's proposal calls for a 2% gross receipts tax for everyone while eliminating the existing more than 350 deductions, exemptions, and credits that apply to some. His bill also eliminates more than 400 state statutes. Scherer says the approach is simple and understandable.
If there's no personal income tax, you don't have to fill out a form, but you're still paying tax. And you're going to pay gross receipts tax on your income. So if you're selling widgets out there as an individual widget operator, well, you collect tax and you send it to the state. But if you're a W-2 employee, right now, your employer takes out withholding based on that. But now, and they would still do the same, only now it's 2% instead of 4.9.
With this approach, Scherer displays a dramatically altered state government revenue stool.
If you take that gross receipts tax and make the volume exactly the same, you now have one larger leg. These legs are 1 3/4 inches in diameter. This leg is 4 inches in diameter, still with all of the credits, deductions, exemptions, and everything, but now they're the three legs that are left, gross receipts, energy, and investment, are all the same, and you can actually sit on that stool. But if you do away with all of the credits, deductions, exemptions, then you have what essentially is a 6-inch leg on the stool. And that's really hard to knock over.
Scherer has been arguing for years that this tax reform effort would raise more money for the state while that incoming revenue would be more equitably based.
Because today, cities only get little pieces of gross receipts tax. Well, now they get more, which means their own taxes can come down. So the city, county taxes can all come down. And why that's important is when Ernst & Young started the tax study, which isn't done, much to my disappointment, they did some broad sweeping things based on other bills that had been introduced in the past. But what they said is if you taxed everything, which is what I'm talking about, if you taxed everything, the state tax rate could be 1.43%. That's a 65% reduction in taxes. If the cities and counties also have that, it really will come out to a 2.2% total tax for the taxpayer. Cities get money, county gets money, state gets money, all of the services, we're not cutting anything out, all of the services are paid for with a 2.2% tax. It's simple, it raises enough money to pay all the bills, but most importantly, I believe this attracts new industries to New Mexico. And why are new industries important? Well, we've got a high unemployment, but also we are completely tied to oil, gas, and coal. I personally love oil, gas, and coal because that's what my house sits on. But I also recognize we need something besides oil, gas, and coal. So let's fix the tax rate and new business will come.
Scherer expects a coming New Mexico tax reform study, funded during last year's legislative session and originally anticipated to be completed last year, to add more fuel to his argument and to his voluminous legislation.
People need to see what this tax can really do. And if it's wrong, well, please bring it to me. One of the things that we had this year, which was amazing to me, we have a very good fiscal impact report this year. And what it's got each section by section. And if there's a flaw in the section or sections disagree with each other, what's listed in there. So this 186-page bill was truly analyzed this time so that we can fix these, most of which are technical issues. But I think next year we'll have the study done. We'll have the all of the technical fixes that need to be done. I think next year we got a real shot.
Farmington State Senator and flat tax advocate William Scherer. And finally, I wrapped up coverage of the 2018 New Mexico legislative session with this piece that ran the morning after the legislature adjourned. Meeting with reporters shortly after the 2018 New Mexico legislature adjourned its 30-day regular session Thursday, Republican Governor Susana Martinez looked back.
I'm generally pleased with the results and very pleased with the bipartisanship that took place. I am particularly happy with the calmer heads that prevailed in the Senate Finance Committee, and they did the right thing and increased funding for public safety and crime fighting. We were able to come together in a bipartisan way and made that budget make sure that it reflected our values and reflected our priorities.
Martinez has until March 7th to act on legislation sent her way. And, of course, she can veto the annual budget on a line-item-by-line-item basis, and she made clear she'll veto any tax increases. Democratic House Speaker Brian Egolf credits the bipartisan nature of this year's legislative session to New Mexico trying its best to be unlike Washington.
I personally just think that if you want to see change, you have to be the change.
Egolf's House Republican counterpart, Nate Gentry of Albuquerque, the GOP minority leader, concurred.
Leadership sat down and said, look, what is it that we can come to common ground on? And we did that. And we spent a lot of time, you know, talking among ourselves to make sure that, you know, we could get some victories for the people of the state.
House Republican leader Nate Gentry. And that's KSFR's continuing coverage entry for 2018. Thanks for your consideration. Tom Trowbridge, News Director, KSFR, Santa Fe Public Radio.